In 1519, Cortez's army landed on the shores of Veracruz to begin that great, that famous conquest that you read about in the history books. And the first order that Cortez gave to his armies having come ashore was this: burn the ships. Well, that doesn't seem like a very good backup plan, but that was precisely the point. He had one mission. There was no plan B. There was no escape plan. The only opportunity was to move forward. It's a really great strategy. Unfortunately for us, at times, let's face it, we make a plan and then we plan to fail. Well, what are we going to do if this doesn't work? And that becomes the focus of our energies. My friends, the things that matter here today is the mission that matters. And John wrote about that to a church that saw people departing, walking away, as it were. And as a matter of fact, before we jump into this, I am reminded of Paul writing to the church at Corinth, even on a communion Sunday, as it were. And Paul says, there are divisions among you. And he says, well, I suppose there needs to be. And you know what the reason for division is? To find out who is genuine, according to Paul. It's an interesting, interesting thought, because it connects here with John's thoughts here in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, where John makes it clear who's the real deal and who's not, and gives some very, very clear descriptions, some markings, as it were, in their lives. So will you notice with me in verse 18 as we jump in, John reminds them, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. You see, authentic Christians are marked by their enduring faith. And we notice that John says here the last days are identified by a departure from the faith. This reference here seems to indicate two things. One, the Antichrist, and then two, many Antichrists. Now, what are we talking about here? I thought there was one. Well, there is one, but there is a spirit of Antichrist that can pop up in people's lives. I'm not talking about a surprise, friends. Everything that pops up in your life is the result of decisions made in your life. But this spirit of Antichrist is exactly what you think it is: Antichrist. And you'll notice here that John tells us the first mark of an authentic Christian, they're marked by enduring faith. And take a look at what this looks like here in verse 19, where we discover only the ones who endure, who stay to the end, are saved. Verse 19, John writes, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out. Why? That it might become plain that they are not all, or they are all, are not of us. Now, friends, we're not talking about people that leave a church. We're talking about people who oppose the Christ of the church. And they do it both with their voices and with their actions. Jesus talked about this kind of departure in Matthew chapter 24. And I'd like to encourage you to turn with me to Matthew 24 and verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Here we are looking at the two chapters that encompass what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And the focus of the Sermon on the Mount is the future. Now notice here in Matthew 24, verse 3, as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, which is why it's called the Sermon on the Mount, okay, his disciples, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things be and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. That is the real danger with a fascination of the future, isn't it? There have been many, and you and I have lived through it. 2000 and this, or 19 and that. The Lord is going to return. The Antichrist will show up. And and they had conferences all through the 70s and into the early 80s on the future and how we can know that this is the year. Well, the fact is, friends, Jesus gave us some signs, but he didn't give us any dates. And I want you to notice, what is the sign? Jesus said, see that no one leads you astray. Why? For many will come in my name. They will come. Well, I'm a Christian. I have studied all so many years, and now I know the answers. And friends, if you are around to see it, you know it sounded just like that. So tell us when these things will be. He said, see that no one leads you astray. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And so one of the first signs that we have of the coming of the Lord is that many will be led astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. They will lead many astray. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. And see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are but the beginning of birth pains. You know about the beginning of birth pains. Baby's coming. You can tell because of those birth pains. But it ain't quite there yet, my friends. Just the beginning. These are verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Well, how in the world can we endure? I mean, how can we be sure that we will not be led astray by people who seem to know far more about the Bible than we do? They're quoting scriptures all over the place. How do we know it's not true? Well, my friends, let us be sure of this. The mark of an authentic Christian is one who endures. You know, there are a lot of metaphors for the church, a building and a field and an army in some places. But I'll tell you what, friends, the one metaphor that I'd like to see connected to the church is that of a postage stamp. Not because it's tiny and sticky, but it has one role to stick around until you get to the place you're going. And that would certainly reflect what John is saying here, to stick around. So the last days, they're identified by a departure from the faith, and the ones who endure are the only ones who are saved, my friends. And so we see John talk about that, Paul referencing it, and here just being laid clear in the Mount of Olives, that great sermon there by Jesus. But my friends, there is another mark. Not only is it those who endure, how do they endure? Because authentic Christians are marked by their commitment to the truth. It is the truth that is an anchor. It is a truth that is a scale that measures things. Does it line up with Scripture or does it? What is it? Is it true? Is it not true? Authentic Christians are marked by their commitment to the truth. And John tells us here in verse 20, they know the truth because it comes through the Spirit of truth. Notice verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. Anointed. Anointed is connected to the word Christ, and the meaning the Anointed One. And it's referencing the relationship, the new relationship a believer has with God the Holy Spirit. We are marked by the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, and taught by the Spirit of God. That's what truly separates us from the lost, is the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. But notice here again, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. And I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Now, in John's day, false Christians who had entered this church even used two special words to describe their experience: knowledge and unction. Perhaps that's a word you're familiar with, or maybe it's odd. And they claimed that they would have this special unction or anointing. You know, it's different than the one you got, implying that it's better. And they have this secret knowledge, this unique knowledge that only we know. So you should listen to us. And they were illuminated, is what they claim. And therefore living on a much higher level. Oh yeah, their Christianity is way better than yours. You should get some of that. That was their claim. But John points out that all true Christians know God. All true Christians have the Spirit of truth working in them. And so understanding the truth is the key. It is the anchor that keeps us from being deceived. Know the truth. That's why if you even start to come around Christians, they start talking about the Bible. You know, and they go to these things called Bible studies, and they're memorizing the Bible, and they buy posters with Bible verses on it. Because the truth is inherently necessary to keep us in the way. It is what shows us where we should go. It is the Spirit of God that uses the truth of the Word of God to guide the child of God into the will of God, all for the glory of God. My friends, the truth is necessary, and you hold it in your hand, whether it be digital or paper, and we got to get in it. And so authentic Christians are marked, first of all, by enduring. They are not deceived. They continue on. They don't walk away. And secondly here, they are marked by their commitment to the truth. So they not only know the truth based on verses 20 and 21, here in verse 22, they confess the truth. Verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, which was the very point of contention. These people who had entered into the church, who had tried to lead others astray, did so by saying, he's not the one. This, John says here at the end of verse 22, is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son and the Father, no one who denies the Son has the Father. And whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. My friends, you cannot offend my Son without offending me. You cannot come up to my Son and slap him without me feeling it. You understand the very contention there, do you not? If you have the Son, you have the Father. If you have the Father, you have the Son. And these people denied both. And they were in there to persuade others to believe what they believed. But these people knew the truth. And you will notice that John is not trying to argue them back. He has already said, you know the truth. And he is confirming them in the truth. So they know the truth and they confess the truth. But I want you to notice also in verse 24, they remained in the truth. there's that sense of enduring as well. They remained in the truth. In verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. There's that word abide. It certainly means to continue on with somebody, but it certainly leans toward an intimacy. It is a word that is used in our relationship with God, abiding in Christ. It means to continue on with, you know, not in a relative general of location. It speaks of two walking together to the same place, abiding in the truth. It's not dabbling in other things. It's not looking at the truth as if it doesn't matter or despising the truth, but enduring with the truth, abiding. So notice, what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, notice this, my friends, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life, eternal life. You know, sometimes when we think about that word, we don't quite really get it. You know, eternal, it means a really long time without any end. And life, you know, being alive. But life has more than just existence. It doesn't mean just being alive for a long time. It means being alive to everything that God has given to us. We go through this life distracted by our selfishness, by our sin, by the things that we get mixed up in this world, and we miss out on this life that God has. Perhaps you remember when you first trusted Christ, and suddenly within you was this voracious appetite for truth. And you read the Bible and you had questions about the Bible. And suddenly things just seemed different. And there was this joy that was unexplainable. I mean, you referred to it as, I'm just happy all the time. And for a brief period of time there, when your focus was primarily and perhaps mostly just all on God, and you wanted him and you wanted nothing but him, and somewhere along the line, it just disappeared. With all the cares of this world and the distractions and the trinkets of Vanity Fair in this world just steals the joy. Our focus is lost. Oh, my friends, focus on the truth, because the truth is God. He has revealed himself in this revelation that we hold. We know him. The Bible is not God. The Bible is God's word. And if you want to know God, you must know his word. Study, my friends. Endure. Abide in the truth. And you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And that leads to eternal life. So, my friends, they remained in the truth. Because a departure from the truth is a departure from Christ. Consider that, my friends, when you dabble in the hobbies of others. And notice this, that despite the lies that they may hear, they endured. Verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as this his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. That is the answer, my friends. Abide in him. Stay close to Jesus. A relationship with God is not just about taking care of that sin issue and then going about your life. Salvation is the beginning of a relationship with God, growing in intimacy and understanding, enjoying him, obeying him, living for him. This is the salvation that we speak of. Do not be fooled, my friends. Do not be fooled. One thing, and you don't walk away. Burn the ships. There's no plan B in all of this, my friends. And you will face opposition. People will argue with you, and they will say you're full of baloney. And they will send you pamphlets and come to your door, and they will look nice and clean, and they will hand you all of their literature. And my friends, they will do whatever it takes through the harsh words or the soft words to lead you away. But you must stand. I wonder if you've heard of Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis. Semmelweis is his name. He was a doctor in Vienna. And he noticed in this department that he was working on that they had quite a higher mortality rate. And he wondered, what is it about this area? What is it about? Is it the doctors? And he began really focusing on watching what everyone was doing. What was going on that made the mortality rate here higher than other departments? And you know what he noticed? Is that the doctors that worked in this area and the students that would come in, they came from the morgue. They came from working with the dead. And he surmised that surely there must be something that they are bringing into this area that is causing the mortality rate. So he set a rule. And this is an incredible rule. You will probably never even heard of this. You know what he told them to do? Wash their hands. And you would think, oh yeah, my mom told me to do that. But they fought him tooth and nail. They hated the very idea of having to do this. They thought it absurd. Why in the world should we go through all this? And not only did they fight back, they tried to have this man fired. But eventually, they began to wash their hands. And ultimately, they did get him fired. And the next guy came in and tried and get real popular with all the employees. He said, you don't have to wash your hands or anything like that. Until they saw the same thing happen again. Imagine. Wash your hands. Why put up a big fight? Kids, I'm talking to you here. When mom says to wash your hands. All right? But I'll tell you, friends, stuff that you know with all your heart you believe, you know it is true. There will be people who will mock you and try to get rid of you. They hated Jesus. Jesus said, they hated me, they will hate you. And so the choice that you need to make is, how far are you willing to go? What are you willing to endure to stay in the truth? What are you willing to do? Wow. Well, now we focus on our last mark of an authentic Christian. The last mark here, we'll notice, and we've already been talking about it, but here it is, an abiding relationship with Jesus. These are the marks of authentic Christians, an abiding relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 28, where we see that this relationship is a relationship of hope. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, and that is the focus of every believer's hope right there. We believe without a shadow of a doubt that there will be a day when the clouds will part and the Lord Jesus will appear and he will come for his church. That is the hope of every believer. And so, my friends, abide in him so that when he appears, a relationship of hope. But, my friends, it is also a relationship of confidence. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. You know, the thing is, nothing is hidden in this world. Nothing. No thoughts, no intents. You may do something that looks good to others, but God knows the intents of your heart. There is nothing hidden. And so John instructs these believers, and in a sense, you and I here this morning. Take a look at the heart. Abiding with him is not just doing the things that look good to others, but it comes from a heart of love for him, for God. You know, there are some things you can hide. You know, you can dress well, you can wear black and make it thin up a little bit and whatever, but you can't hide your health from the stairs, can you? You know, you can look all pip and happy and you'd had three Mountain Dews and the sugar high and you're bouncing, but you can't hide it from the stairs because at the top, you're huffing and puffing. You can't hide things from God, my friends. There's no fooling him. You don't want to appear before him and everyone's saying, oh yeah, he's a great guy, or yeah, she was really, really, really kind and she did so much for, but God knows your heart. And you know what I'm talking, what John is talking about here by shrinking back? It's a child who dropped perhaps something very, very valuable. And they shouldn't have been messing with the little thing that held it on. And can you hold on to this for me? Thank you. Great catch. Give him applause. Come on. Well done. All right. And they do this thing. And you know what I'm talking about? It's like they want to shrink back into their whole self to hide. It's what children do. And you don't want to be that person. And so the good application here today is to stop and take a look and say, what have you been hiding anyway? Maybe that's the best place to start, is to just be honest about it. What have you been hiding? Friend, this isn't your neighbor's business. This is between you and God. I mean, if we want to be open and honest in any relationship, you know what? We got to be open and honest. First Sunday of the month, it's a great opportunity. It's okay. Melanie's like, yes. Yeah. And so it's all about this abiding relationship with God. It is a relationship of hope. It is a relationship of confidence. But my friends know this, it is a relationship of righteousness. Righteousness is doing the right thing for the right reason with the right motivation. Because verse 29 reminds us, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. It is a right relationship with God. And so, friends, if we wrap it up, we could put it this way. Those who do not stand firm in their faith are in danger of falling for a lie. Let me say it again. Those who do not stand firm in their faith are in danger of falling for a lie. So my recommendation based on our scripture here today is this. Build up your faith by exercising it. Ask the question, what is it that God is leading you to do? And do it. What have you found in the scriptures in your study lately that has convicted you? My friends, change your heart and get at it. Secondly, know the truth firsthand. Study it for yourself. It's hard to believe a truth that you really haven't resolved is true. Know it for yourself. Your faith is not something that belongs to someone else. Know it for yourself. And thirdly, finally, grow in your relationship with Jesus. By investing time with Jesus. It's how we grow in any relationship with anyone, is with time, various experiences, growing in relationship with God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation about what it means to be a believer. What it means to live in a relationship with you. What it is that ought to be the focus. So God help us this morning to be honest with ourselves. To ask the hard questions. And God, even to ask you, show us what it is that is hindering us in our walk with you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.